Tasmania Today with John Fabris.
Now, Paul Clitheroe, your book tends to not react to the vagaries of the market.
Because I don't know.
Well, the up times and the down times, and why would you? Because the message from your book is the fundamental principles never really change about our approach to finances, regardless of what the environment is like at the time. Is that true?
Oh, look, I strongly believe it is. Look, the real rule here is, and you don't need to buy my book to find this out, the real rule is the rules that have been around. Go back and read Charles Dickens. I mean, it is about spending less than you earn. I mean, it truly is the secret to success. And absolutely, getting on some of the free websites like the new government website, Money Smart, where you can do a budget. There's a fantastic budget planner on Money Smart. It's because it's a government thing. We pay for it, we taxpayers. It's not going to sell you anything. It won't flog you a new credit card. They really are the fundamental rules. And the reason I don't get too involved in the vagaries of markets is that as the sun rises and falls, all I know over thousands of years is the property market is going to rise and fall in the short term. Over time, it tends to go up because of growing populations and inflation. The share market is all over the place, but we've got many hundreds of years of history that shows us that over time, and I do mean like time, 10 years plus, it tends to go up. But the point for me is people in the street are always saying to me, oh, Paul, you know, give us a hot tip. Where do we buy a share? And it misses the point completely because it's the boring stuff that makes us rich. It is actually the fact that we do a boring budget, and I've got no way around that. It is the fact we control our cash flow. We don't have ridiculously high interest credit cards. We do have the right mortgage. We do the simple stuff. But more importantly, if your people are saying to me, gee, do I buy property or shares over the next 20 odd years? I say, look, Australia's population is going to go from 23 million to 35 million. Property prices will obviously be supported with population growth. As the world economy grows, share prices get supported by economic growth and people buying and selling stuff. So I'm less concerned about, you know, should I buy shares today or tomorrow? Should I buy a property today or tomorrow? Just come back to the basics. And the basics are not whether you buy property or shares or top up super. The basics are, is your cash flow under control? Are you not throwing money out the door? We've got $270 billion in the banking system in accounts earning no interest.
Yeah.
It's just nonsense.
Yes, it is. In the shorter term, though, you can understand the fear in the marketplace looking to America with the property market having collapsed so dramatically there. That people say, well, the Australian market's different. There are different driving forces. We didn't have the same burden of debt and those very, very dodgy loans that were occurring in the United States. All true. However, many doomsdayers say we're massively overpriced here. We have had a correction. We've had a downward trend in the property market across most markets here in Australia in recent times. Where does it end, Paul? And for those that are fretting about home ownership, is it sit on the sidelines and just be very selective now?
Well, the good news is you don't need to rush anymore. This is not just the doomsdays, by the way. Economist magazine, for example, which I have placed very high regard in, the Economist magazine looks at various ratios and it agrees that at the moment the Australian property market is the most overvalued in the world. So let's not step away from this. This idea that property must always go up is wrong. Property has always gone through cycles. They tend to be longer term. And often we don't even notice the property cycle because the average Australian tends to buy and sell round about every 8 to 9 years, so we often barely notice. But for me, let's come back to fundamentals, is that I do think Australian property is expensive by global standards at the moment. I also do agree with the other side of the argument that Australia's population is growing so quickly, and we also have very limited places in Australia where you can build and own property. I mean, you know, the Americans are telling me we should build cities in the middle of Australia, but you know, we don't have water, infrastructure and so on, which is a bit of a problem. So we have very limited land mass we can build in. So for me, as our population grows, will the extra 10 or so million Australians over the next 25 years want somewhere to live? I think they will. I think we can agree that demand for property is actually really pretty good. The big issue also around property is why have our prices not fallen dramatically? Around Australia, we have an undersupply of housing. And the second point, of course, is we have very, very low rates of unemployment. Now, if unemployment was to rise dramatically in Australia, what do I think housing prices would do? I think they'd fall quite a lot. Mm. But the issue for me is that someone says to me, I'm going to buy a property to make money in 2 or 3 years. I think you're nuts.
Tasmania Today with John Fabris, 1300 883 557.